Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Get ready for first-class luxury paired with world-class drama when Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show featuring the one and only Lisa Vanderpump, premieres on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Roosevelt, a glamorous estate in the breathtaking French countryside. Immerse yourself in the electrifying lives of the elite staff as they seamlessly blend work, life, and play together 24/7. Witness the excitement unfold as they navigate through intense rivalries, romances, and misadventures. In their quest to deliver unforgettable experiences for their guests, the staff must rise to the challenge of meeting Lisa's high standards, and not everyone has what it takes to shine. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This week's episode was with the Ed Milet, who we found on Instagram and knew we just had to meet him. He was so kind, and he took the time during a conference he was speaking at to come out and do a quick interview with us. Sorry, right off the bat for the sound. It was an echoey room, but it's all we had. He told stories that were inspiring of how he grew his life to where it is. Stories from his childhood, his parents, and also his wife that stood by him when he had nothing. And now he's a complete success story and a total inspiration to not only us, but hopefully you guys. So we cannot wait to see him and meet him again, and we hope you enjoy this interview.
Have you heard of us before we reached out to you?
Yeah, I have. I've seen your stuff a bunch of times.
How?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird, right?
Oh, maybe my wife.
Your wife?
Yeah,
your wife's a mom.
Yeah, my wife's a mom.
Yeah,
yeah,
you have two kids.
I do, and my wife and I was five. Most people don't know that.
Harvard, and you what? You met her when she was five?
Yeah, we're the same age even though I live 20 years older, yeah.
So you guys stayed in touch the entire time?
We lived two streets away from each other. We dated in high school, and then we broke up a year or two when I was in college, but she's really the only serious girlfriend I ever had.
It's very,
I don't know.
You still like each other?
Lots.
Love
yeah.
Each other.
Yeah. And if you saw her, you would think, oh, I probably trophy wifed her once I got rich, but no.
No, we saw her. She was a hottie.
Two things. I want to know how you got rich, and number two, but I want to know just from a mom's perspective.
Can we just start quick today? Just like, can Ed tell our people who he is?
Oh, who are
you saying? Because you know him better.
What do you mean who I am?
Like, what do you do? Like, what do they do?
Lewis hates that question, remember?
I don't care what he
is. Oh, he hated who you are?
No, what do you do?
What do you do? Yeah, that's a hard answer, but...
Same with us.
I built a bunch of businesses when I was really young, and that turned into speaking. So I did a lot of stage speaking. So I met, you know, Tony Robbins when I was very young, and that speaking turned into, like, coaching of the executives there, which turned into coaching of athletes and entertainers and politicians. So I guess I'm an entrepreneur who speaks and coaches people. I guess it's the best
way
to say it.
That's easy. That's
That's really easy to understand.
Thank you.
And then now, because of social media, you can reach the masses.
Yeah, which I didn't want to do. The cool thing was I was private, except for the speaking. So if you go back and look, I get the chance to speak to pretty large audiences.
What do you see?
You know, like 40, 50,000 or whatever.
No big deal.
Well.
How do you become a good speaker? Is that just like something you were born with?
No. It was my biggest fear in my life. So what happened was I went to a seminar where it was my phobia.
Yeah.
And they made you get up on the stage and do it, mm-hmm. right? Like, terrified.
Yeah.
Like, just pick a topic you're passionate about. I'm like, okay, baseball. And I talked about baseball for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then I get off the stage, and that person was Robbins, was Tony.
Yeah.
And I get called backstage, he goes, hey, you're really good at this, actually. You have a really good voice for it.
You do. You've got a great sound. Yeah.
That's the only thing I got going. I got the click in.
So I have a question for you, because you're the second person, and we've only done a few of you, Lewis and actually Colton said the same thing. Mm-hmm. They did what they feared the most.
Yeah.
How do you do what you fear? That, like, how do you take that? Because we work with a lot of moms.
Yes.
And we have a business podcast on top of this, because we have a seven-figure company as two stay-at-home moms, which
That's
blows
awesome.
Our mind. With a phone, which blows our mind.
So awesome.
We don't bring that home yet. We're working on it. But, you know, you have to pay your people and the things.
I get it. Trust me.
But everyone's asking, like, how the fuck do you step out of that fear? How the fuck do you do that?
Yeah.
Because it's easier. It's a lot easier not to.
And I think it's easier for men, too, because you're taught. If you look at men and women and the risk-taking men versus women take, it's much more significant.
Well, one of the reasons is women, if they take a risk and fail, usually catch more heat for it, too, right? Like, a man is like, well, he was bold and noble and tried. And sometimes when a woman does, like, oh, she's crazy, right? Which is ridiculous, but it's the case. Probably, and my following, by the way, is like 65, 35 women over men.
Right.
That follow my stuff, which is sort of interesting. But the way you do it, to answer your question, number one, you better know that on the other side of that fear is some kind of gift. And I don't mean that like in a foofy way. Mm-hmm. I mean like legitimately the gift could be someone you'll meet, a fear you've overcome, a talent or gift you didn't know you had will be revealed to you. For me, most of the stuff I've done that I've been afraid of, mainly the public speaking thing, on the other side is probably my greatest gift.
Right.
It's my ability to communicate, right? I had no idea that existed. So now I kind of like stepping into those things for this reason. The happiest people, ironically, deal with the most uncertainty.
Say that again. The happiest people have the most uncertainty.
They do. They're willing to deal with. I was watching YouTube today. You got like the award show tonight, two podcasts. You were partying last night. You had interviews, right? You're like, you're doing your deal. That's when you're the most happy, is when you're a little bit out of control.
Before I walked in here, I'm like, I love this. I love this feeling. We love this feeling.
You know why? Because it's what you had when you were young. When you were a little kid, you were learning new things and experiencing new stuff every single second of every single day. And the older you get, you move away from those things. And what you actually seek is like certainty and stability and just predictability. And that's death. Like the odd thing is the very thing most people chase is the thing that will make them the most unhappy. That's why you see so many rich people that are unhappy. They got to where they don't have to do anything in their mind anymore, and they get bored and start doing self-destructive things. That's why when you watch an athlete, we're talking athletes, when they retire, that transition from like, shit, I got nothing to do all day long now.
They're
more and more unhappy. So I've just wired myself that like uncertainty is happiness. Uncertainty is experience. So fear is where all the uncertainty is. So I got to go there or I'm bored.
That's why when people sometimes ask us like, what's your favorite part about what you do? And I'm like, I think it's that we get to go and meet new people and learn from people. Because if we weren't doing this, we would have stayed at home. We would have been in Toronto with our families doing something safe. But we get the opportunity to meet people like you and then learn from them. And then we learn, which is exciting. It's not just staying stagnant.
The other thing you do that's super cool, I just want to tell you, that I like, is like you make me think I could do it too.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't, and I try to do that with my stuff too. I don't want people thinking I'm some kind of prodigy or expert or guru or like, I'm not above you. Right, not in the least. Like, I'm not, in fact, if you meet anybody in like my space, which is like personal development or self-help or whatever, usually someone like me, like, had to figure this shit out to be functional, not like successful. Functional.
Right.
So
right.
What happens is I got addicted to it. I'm like, oh, that's how your mind works. That's how the brain works. Those are like principles of it. And that's what led to like wealth and whatever other people would call success or whatever. It was like, I had to learn to like just live with myself, like just like me a little bit.
You know what about liking yourself? One of your things you say, like, don't compare.
Yeah.
Okay. And we find as mothers, as business owners, and you know, there's
women.
It's like when you say don't compare to others and don't live in comparison. How do you teach someone to not? Because we try to tell people, like, just be you, love yourself.
We said,
know you're special.
We said, if you're chasing, trying to be someone all the time, like, the only way you're going to do is by eating them and then, like, actually diving into their body.
Yes.
And then, but you're still them, you're not you. So if you're trying to, what are you going to accomplish by, what are you, nothing?
Zero.
Then how do you be like, I'm cool, I'm cool.
And we can give this advice, but how do you get people to understand it?
So I do think it is more prevalent with women. I do agree with you on that. I do. I don't think that many things are like gender specific, but this is. Men do it for sure. But women do it, and sometimes I think, honestly, I'm a pretty fit dude. Usually dudes are like, hey man, you're looking good.
Yeah.
You know, but oftentimes when it's reversed, it's like, she probably doesn't eat, or blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
It's a comparison thing. Here's what I think about that, because I've worked with lots of people on it. I think comparing yourself to other people is the symptom. I think the disease is you don't like yourself. And so the reason you don't like yourself, because you don't like yourself, you're constantly looking outside yourself to almost divert attention, right? But how do I like myself more? It's really not that hard. Like, the reason I think the two of you are pretty happy right now, and I'm watching this happen, self-confidence is the process. Like, just keep promises you make to yourself. When I meet someone who's not confident, because I used to not be.
Right.
What did that dude have, the old me who didn't like him, who compared himself all the time to other people? I didn't keep promises I made to myself. I didn't get up when I said I was going to. I didn't work out when I said I was going to. I didn't eat a certain way. I didn't in my business make a couple of calls.
It's crazy to say that.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, we did a post recently where we said, like, as women, stop dressing for who you should be, who you think you are, and who you want to be. Dress for who you are.
Yes.
Go to the mall and get what you like today, what fits you today.
Yes.
Not what you should be in 2 months
100%.
When you finish that. But it's so basic.
100%. It is so basic. But, like, I think everyone would just stop and listen to that. You could start to turn around your happiness level. Because here's the other thing. I'm just speaking in the other room. I don't know if you want to say that. But
we don't give a fuck.
Okay,
cool.
So Teddy Mellencamp,
yeah.
who has a coaching program, it's all women that were in there.
Right.
And I was in there, I'm the only dude. Mm. And we were talking about this very topic. And one of the things that I think you have to do is there has to become a point where you just decide, like, everything you think you want, like a new clothes or travel or whatever, here's what every human being wants. Here's what it is. You ready? I just want to be happier.
I know.
Yeah,
you just want to be happier. So people think, well, if I get that private jet, I'll be happier. If I can get that man, I'll be happier. If I get that woman, if I get those shoes, which is all good. But what you really want, you have to break down. You will never get what you really want if you're not clear on what it is. And what you really want is to be happier.
Yeah.
That's what every human wants. Now, you may find that through losing weight. You may find that through shopping. You may find that through travel. But if you don't get clear, what I really want to be is happier. That's what I really want. I want to be more blissful. And I teach something called blissful dissatisfaction,
mm-hmm.
which is that you can. People think, I'm not going to be happy until.
Yeah, totally.
I'll let myself be happy once I look a certain way.
Yeah.
I'll let myself be happy once I make a certain amount of money.
Yep.
Once I get that dude. Once I get this. Except the problem is, you have to bring me with you when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And now other people think, well, and if I let myself be happy now, I'll lose all my drive. You know?
I think it's also fear of, I think people are afraid to be happy because they're afraid of losing something, like the other shoe's gonna drop. So
yes.
I stay in a constant state of miserableness, and we call them like tenors, because they go from 0 to 10 over like a glass breaking, like the fucking glass and the cupboard. So, like they want to, when
they feel safe in that place.
In the place of negativity, so everyone else can be like, it's okay. Like,
you're so right.
You know,
they feel like
so
they deserve happiness.
A million, they don't think they deserve it, right?
And they're scared of it.
You're right. And by the way, people do think, if I'll just not expect anything, I'll just kind of keep things as glassed over. Almost like they just kind of medicate their life in the middle. And then when you get to the end of it, you're going to really regret that. You're going to regret it. Like, people ask me, why are you all driven or whatever?
Because, or whatever.
You know, like, because most people are like, I don't even get why are you still working or whatever it might
right.
be. The ladies in there ask me that. And I have this really, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't matter what your faith is. I don't, it's not my business. But I believe that when you die, God's going to go, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. But I have this feeling, and it drives my life. Like, you might think I'm wacky, but I think he's going to introduce me to the man I was capable of being, I was born to be. I think he's going to introduce you to the woman you were born to be someday. I think you're going to meet her.
See,
well, let's hope it's a good man.
I have a different philosophy.
Yeah.
Mine is that, like, daily you can impact people
yes.
you meet, and the people, the way you make people feel daily,
yep.
or the feelings you get back, right? So if
100%.
I'm making people feel great, so
yep.
rather than looking at what's going to be, like, I was a social worker before this, and I think a lot of people sometimes use religion to make themselves feel better
no,
about
no.
what they were doing.
That's
and I'm a good person because I went to church.
Oh,
and,
okay.
and I'm like, well, we execute daily
yep.
to help people feel.
I think we have the same philosophy.
Right.
I think I meet that dude by every day choosing to pursue the better version of me.
Right.
So, like, I don't get there by going, please let me get there.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I get there by
Accountability daily.
Every single day, like, hey, stepping towards that dude. So that when I meet him, to me, heaven would be, hey, we're identical twins. I've been chasing you all my life.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, you caught me, man. You had the memories, the experiences, the moments. You made the difference you were supposed to make. Hell with me. I meet that dude. I didn't see the places, meet the people, help the people, have the moments.
You could have been who you were, what path you would take. I mean, we have such a woman audience, and I say this lightly because often the men don't support the women, so the women are full-time working, full-time moms, making the money and help managing the children, right? All of it.
Unreal, yes.
Yeah, they're superheroes, and then you have the single moms on top of that, but for the often women say, I want to start something. We'll just talk entrepreneurship for a second, but my husband doesn't support me in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you find yourself the confidence to have that conversation with him? Because I feel like you're big in relationships.
I am.
Agree? Like, your partner should be an equal,
100%.
How do you break through that and
that
find your happiness?
The number one question that I get. That for sure.
My husband doesn't support me.
Oh, big time. Yeah, 100%. That's the number one question that I get. And, you know, it's interesting. I think that that's something that you need to evaluate in your relationship. And what I mean by it is, my wife hasn't always believed in the businesses that I was doing, okay? She's not, like, there's been lots of times she's like, I don't think it's gonna work, or you shouldn't do it, or whatever. But she's always believed in me.
Yeah.
And we've had to have that conversation. Like, a couple times she questioned me, I said, well, okay, forget that you don't believe in the business. Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me?
Why don't you think she believed in, what was she afraid of that?
You wanna really know?
Yes.
Okay, here's why they're really not supporting you. Are you ready? And it's gonna be hard to believe. You ready? They think you're gonna leave them.
Oh, I see. I also think
they believe you're going to leave him. Now, by the way, that could be literally or figuratively. They don't know this, but when he's not supporting what you're doing, this version of you may be leaving him. May be a more confident,
because this
more
new
bold
version of you isn't the person that you got married to, so maybe this person isn't going to want to be here
anymore. Wait, where'd this come from? When we met, you weren't starting some business. Well, wait a minute. I was supposed to be the exact person when I was 25 or 35 or 45. So in his mind, this one that I love, she's going to leave me and change. Now, and sometimes it's the extreme of, she will eventually leave me physically if she's successful or meets more people or interacts with people, sees how inadequate I am, meets some other. They're a change. But they are literally thinking this person in front of them is leaving. Now, you may physically up and leave, or you may just physically change,
mm-hmm.
but their fear, just so you know, when he's not supporting you, here's what it is. He's afraid. He is afraid. He is fear speaking in him. How you fix it is very difficult. For me, you have to have that frank conversation at some point of, do you believe in me? Do you love me and believe in me?
So funny you say this, because we say to our husbands, which they don't necessarily take as compliments, we don't need you, we choose you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very different than, I think a lot of men would be more comfortable if we needed them than if we chose them.
Men love to save the day, right? Men love being the savior, the protector, all that other stuff. It's funny, my wife's never said that, but I definitely believe that.
Yeah, I choose you. You know, I don't need you.
We have heard a bunch of examples of women who become successful entrepreneurs, and I believe that their husbands were too scared and couldn't acknowledge that, and they actually have left.
Of course.
And apparently it happens often, but it's because, I guess,
they can't support them.
They're too afraid.
Well, think about it. If someone didn't support you when it was really going bad, and then they win and they're kind of riding your coattails, you're like, you know, motherfucker, I remember what you said. Right?
Yeah, I remember what you said.
Did you go through something to make you want to change, or is it just something that you chose to do?
You mean the businesses that I was in?
Just like what?
I went totally broke.
With a family or no?
With a wife, but not kids yet. We didn't have kids when I went totally broke, but I went totally broke. Like, I went broke where we lost our house. I lost a home. Remember then after that, we were newlyweds too, and I walked out one day. Or when Christiana had to get a job, my wife, because my business was doing so bad. We were in the business together.
What did she do?
She went and was an assistant at a credit repair place. But she goes out one morning to work, and she's like, you're not going to believe this. Someone stole the car. I'm like, oh my God. Which was worse, because it wasn't stolen. It was repoed. And then 3 days after that, we had our power turned off. And then the worst thing that's ever happened is we had our water turned off. You can get everything turned off, but you have water. Water, you can't cook, you can't bathe. And so I'm a newlywed. My wife and I are walking down the apartment.
Did you have a lot of money before?
I had done okay. No, not like millions, but like when I was in my 20s, which was a million years ago, I was making $250,000 $1,000 a year.
Okay. So how did you lose it all? From risky business choices?
No, from getting stupid and arrogant and thinking I had made it and spending too much money and not working as hard as I once did, like all kinds of mistakes. But it got to the point where we were just married and we would have to walk down the apartment stairs in the freezing cold every morning. We would shower in the outdoor pool apartment, shower. Yeah. I just hold a towel up and let her shower.
How long did that go on for?
A month. It was embarrassing. It was horrible. And then you have to go out and pretend you're successful in business,
right? Yeah.
It was like, I'm living a nightmare. I'm trying to sell this dream to people. It was just horrific. It was a month of no water. But we went like 3 months with no power. But I was like, great if we had water eventually.
And then what did you, like, then what?
This is where, like, you learn from people. Like, she kept supporting me. She had some real conversations. Like, how come I'm going out to work and you're still here in the morning? You know, let's get this going. Let's move. Let's get it going. And I finally turned it around. There was a kind of a come to Jesus moment for me, with me, where I'm like, this is either going to go left or right in my life, right? Like, I'm either going to turn this around or I'm going to be one average, ordinary dude. And I just went crazy for about 5 years of just crazy psycho work.
Like 23 hours,
that's probably why I look older than I am. Seriously, yeah. I think one of the reasons I look older than I just like I, my 20s and early 30s, I just was a nut. Like, I wanted to win.
Are you afraid to lose it all now?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my biggest fears is being broke.
I was gonna ask what your biggest fear is.
One of them, death is a fear. Right?
You're afraid of death?
Sure. I mean, I don't want to die yet. I think I know where I'm going, but I don't want to die. I'm afraid of dying. People say, "Oh, I'm not afraid of dying at all." Really? Really? You're not afraid? Someone put a gun to your head right now, you wouldn't be afraid. Of course I'd be afraid. So
yeah. I'd definitely be scared of the pain.
You know what I'm most afraid of? Honestly, like, I'm afraid of dying. It's not my biggest fear. I'm afraid of going broke, but that's not my biggest fear. Honestly, is that I'll die someday and not have the life I could have had. Like, I have not.
Regret. You don't want to have regret.
I hate that idea.
Do you have regret now?
Yeah, I have regrets.
You do?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah? Like, major ones? Or like...
I wish that when my kids were little, I was more present. If I could go back, if I'm being really honest, my wife is constantly going, remember when Max, remember when Bella?
How old are the kids now?
My son's 18 and my daughter's 16. Any lessons to the parents, the moms out there?
Please.
You got one of those dads that's distant and working all the time and you need to wake his ass up.
I think some moms, because we say that often, like guilt and feeling like working mom guilt is sometimes a privilege because a lot of people don't have a choice, right? They are working so much just to get their kids fed. But you gave them something, and we come from single moms, and my mom will work constantly.
Yeah.
But I say she taught us how to work hard with
bills.
Yeah. So you probably gave them lessons you didn't even realize.
I take credit for that. I do. Like, they know hard work pays off, and they've had great. But you know what? I could have done more. I could have still, when I got there, been better about little things. Like, now I do it. I teach it. Like, when I get home, my phone stays in the car for an hour.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist the temptation of the emergencies on
there. We're the same. When you're trying to build a business, you're like, fuck.
All the time.
So, I think your kids can, like, you can come back and you can make up for it. I think they really will see that.
And I have a great relationship with my kids.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's cool is my wife did stay home eventually once we had babies because that was what she wanted. And so I did afford the family to have that.
Yeah.
So their mom was there every day after school. You know, we've never had, and there's nothing wrong with it, but we've raised our children. You know,
yeah.
We don't have help doing it or anything like that. So there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe we should have had help if I'd been better at it. That's my regret. I wasn't there enough when they were little.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh gosh, I feel like so many parents have to end up saying that.
Yeah. I don't feel like you because you can't get it back.
I know, it's gone.
But you get grandchildren, maybe.
And that would be a different deal with me, I promise you. For me, because everyone wants all this material stuff, houses and jets, and I'm blessed that I have all that. Trust me, and all that's wonderful. I want you to have it. Your family and your close friends, that is the most precious thing in the world.
But did you have a great mom?
World class.
And yeah. would you have ever changed her?
No.
But
no.
I bet she sits there and wishes she had done things differently, too.
You think so?
Like, every mom.
We do they? So this is normal?
Yes, okay. It is normal.
No one's ever asked me that. Ever on a million shows, no one's ever asked me if I have regrets.
Really?
Never asked me that before. And that's definitely a regret.
We always tell moms, especially, like, think about your relationship with your mom, no matter what it was. Mm-hmm. 98% of them would have never changed mom. Actually, 99.9% would never say, I wish I had a different mom. No matter
what. Right. I love
my mom. Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing. Same with your dad.
And my dad, too. My dad was an alcoholic, really bad alcoholic. Now he's sober, but, you know, like, yeah, 100% would never change my dad.
And see, your kids are saying the same thing. Yeah. Even though you, and a lot of moms, remember, go home and beat themselves up. This is why I think talking to people outside of the mom world is sort of important, because they go home and they're like, I failed, because their expectations are, I should be home all day, I should work all day, and then I should build like quinoa pancakes, and then I should also make sure that I'm eye level and present, and, like, they do, and then they don't, and then they go to bed and they're like, tomorrow I'm gonna wake up, have coffee, meditate, work, you know.
You're so okay, I gotta tell you. So my show, I interview like achievers, right? And a lot of probably half women, half men. And people ask me all the time, what do they have in common? Because when I started the show, I wanted to know. I called it Max Out. Like, okay, what does Stephanie McMahon, who runs the WWE, and Dierks Bentley, and, Terrell Owens, the football player, all have in common? Like, what do these people have in common? Or some, you know, million-dollar executive. And I was like, it's probably hard work or connections or brains. It's going to surprise you. The thing they have most in common, not all of them, but most in common, is a little bit of depression.
Shut up.
A little bit of depression. Yeah. Teddy Hollenkamp, who's in the other room, I was just saying this to the ladies, and Teddy said, yep, and she's been on my show.
But why?
Here's why I think. I think achievers in general, and women are more prone to this too, see what they're capable of, and this is where they are. And there's this gap between what they know they can do and where they are, and they never quite match it. And I think that's true for achievers. It's probably a healthy thing to get you to achieve, but it's not a healthy thing to get you happy. And I have it too, where I'm like, I'm not measuring up as a dad, or I'm not, I could do better in business, or I could be in better shape. So it's not just a gender thing, but I think in general, there's more pressure on women because their responsibilities are greater. They are in charge of the kids.
Uh-huh.
We are playmates. Like,
it's a mental load that we're
children. It's the money. It's the cooking. It's laundry. It's the emotional well-being of their children.
Are they? Am I putting them in the right things?
It's amazing, right? And I think they're just. I think for most people, which should make you feel okay. I'm telling you, some of the most successful people in the world that have been on my show, privately or on my show, have had that form of a little bit I call depression.
It's so funny you say. We had a therapist on, and we were talking about anxiety and depression in teens and tweens, and she's like, well, shit, they probably should. They're getting hair on places they didn't know.
Yeah.
They're getting things that are growing.
Yep.
They like people that maybe are the same sex or not.
Yep.
Of course they're fucking anxious and depressed.
Yeah, and would you not be? If you're not, maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. You should have some of that. That's called being alive.
Yeah,
we don't have it, which is very odd, but I will tell you, we come from two kind of fucked up backgrounds. I don't mean fucked up in a bad way, I just mean I dropped out of high school, she didn't make it through another school, we were very, we never fit the mainstream expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So when you learn that you don't fit somewhere and you have to find your other path, you begin to get grateful for finding the happiness in a day rather than a thing.
I love that.
Yeah, so we wake up, we're like, life is fucking amazing, and then everything else is, everyone, they think we're on drugs or we're drunk.
I know, I can tell you what I love. So I'm a, as you know, I'm a fan of your content. I'm probably not the demo either, no, right?
We have everybody, literally everybody.
It's weird, because sometimes people think I have a demo too. They think I'm like a doo-doo or
something. We're humans, we connect on humans.
But it's your energy. Even when I just met you, like there's a, I feed off energy on people, right? And like you have the great, you have this amazing energy that like pulls me in, and it's loving and comfortable and hilarious, right? Like it's not judgmental in any way. And I wonder if that's part of your deal too. Like you bring a grateful type energy. Like I like when you guys asked, I was like, yes, my office.
Well, yeah, I was gonna ask why did you say yes. I was curious why you said yes.
I wanted to meet you. I wanted, and by the way, it's really cool because you're what I was hoping. Like you're how you are. No, like
our client is who we are.
Yeah, me too. Right? Yeah, surprise people like, oh, you are kind of nice, and you're like patient and pretty good. And I'm like,
it is so disappointing when you see something online, then you meet them, and you're like, fuck! Why is it so flat?
Yes. Damn.
Well, especially because we have built so much of our businesses online through social media, and that's where we meet people and see other personalities. Yeah. So when you go to meet them in person, it's not as
easy. Kim, I'm gonna have one more question because I know you're going on a plane to where.
Salt Lake City.
To do what?
Speak.
Always speaking.
Well, no, I'm gonna have some cigars and scotch and some dudes, but before then, I'm speaking.
Is your wife even with you?
She is.
And she goes everywhere with you?
She doesn't go everywhere because we have teenagers.
Yeah. Right. But don't leave them all around. We have seven of them between the two of us, and there we go.
So, yeah. So you know, right? Yeah, so when it's a one-dayer, you know, she just went on a four-dayer with me, and she was like dying to get back after 2 days. She still cries when we leave, so it's weird.
No,
she still cries with me, but she is going to die.
Like I said, a lot of moms are sitting there lost, confused, and we say that a lot of women, when they become moms, they shelve them. Society shelves them as like, that was great. You're a mom now, yeah. And they're like, how do I figure out what's next? Or how do I figure out who I am? It's like they lose their identity and they don't know how to get out of that and find that. That's like our number one question.
Yeah, and I also want to say on that side, that's why I feel like in a lot of meetings when we meet with like possible opportunities, I always like to say, I know you look at us and you know we're moms and I know we have seven kids, but I want you to know that we're not tired and we have so much more space for more. Don't just be like, you guys must be.
And we say we do what everybody else does, but we keep people alive behind the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to do what you do, we have to do what everybody else does, but then we have all these people we take care of. So is there any action-oriented plan that people can do to feel maybe a little better about themselves or where they at, or anything that you'd be like, here is my wisdom of the moment?
Yeah, by the way, I hate hearing that, by the way.
I know.
It breaks my heart. Something happened to me when we had kids that changed, because I know what it's like not to appreciate all the things that a mom or a woman goes through. For some reason, we had kids, and my wife stayed home raising our kids. For some reason, then when I meet women who were doing that and also had a career, I don't know what happened. I just went, oh my God, like, how in the world are you pulling this off, right? So I just have tremendous, I mean, I think you can feel it. Like, I mean, like, sincere, like, real, true, like, mind-blowing, blows my mind, admiration. Yeah, there's a way that you can feel better. There's a lot of different things that you can do, but one of the things that I would tell you to do is to give yourself some space. So can you find yourself 20 minutes, 30 minutes for you time all the time? So like for my wife, it's reading. Like believe it or not, like her thing that feeds her, she loves to read. I don't get it, I don't do a lot of that.
But
it's like something that she loves that feeds her is her passion for reading. And that also to know that this is just a season of your life and that not always are you gonna be in this situation where your babies are this age or this time. And you know what?
That scares a lot of them though, because
what's gonna be next?
Well, we're bred to have, a lot of women are bred to only be, you're a mom and then you're like an athlete.
Yeah.
You get that and then you retire and like, fuck, no, I have these kids, but now what?
Right, and that's because your identity, it happens with athletes all the time, that's why they come see me, because your identity shouldn't be tied up in what you do. Your identity needs to be connected to who you are. And as long as your identity is tied up as I'm a mom, right? That's what you do. That's not who you are, right? What you are is love, kindness, servitude. And I'd start to ask yourself, what are some of my passions? How do I know what I'm passionate about? I'm only passionate about my kids.
Yeah.
That's a normal question, right?
Totally.
Here's a key. It's going to surprise you. Who do you admire? Just think about who you admire for a minute, okay? I don't care who they are. It could be Oprah Winfrey. It could be your own mother. It could be whoever it is. Who do you admire? And when you look at that person, what are some of their real gifts? What are their gifts? What do you admire about them? Like, my hero was Martin Luther King, okay? Why did I admire him? He's black, I'm white. He's from the 60s, I'm from the 80s and 90s. Like, what is it about this man? He's from the South, I grew up in California, right? What I admired about him was a few things. One, he dedicated his life to helping other people. I admired his ability to speak, right? So what happens is, when you find somebody you admire, they have gifts they use in a different way that you see within you. So if you really thought, I admire so-and-so, what is it that you admire about them? It's because they have a gift or two that you know intuitively you also have.
Or you want.
Yes, and if you would be really intentional about why you admire them, it's not because they're rich, it's not because they're beautiful. Maybe you admire J-Lo because of her longevity, or you admire her because she's done many different things, or she's a mom. And if you start to look at who you admire and why you admire them, you're going to find that there are things in you that are in them, and you can build from that. That's something that'll give you an idea of what your passions
and we try to tell them, your passion doesn't always have to be income driven. Start with something, like if your husband's like, it doesn't bring any money, why are you doing this? It could be fueling you.
I have a whole show on that. I agree with you.
To be like, to feel a lot, to feel like you're a human, like do it because you feel good about yourself.
100%.
Rather than it brings you X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, you may do something to actually earn money, and the other thing's gonna be your passion.
That thing that you were saying about like finding the person that you admire. I think sometimes if it's more in a negative, it's like, I'm so jealous of that person, although I'm obsessed with like looking at them and watching everything they do, you take a negative when you should admire them and find those things instead of just being like, I'll never be like them.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I interviewed Trump's economic advisor and then Obama's the next week, and I know both men, right? And both of them asked me when I was done, what did I admire about both of them? I'm not going to tell you what my politics are. One of them, it was hard for me to find something that I admired, but both of them, you know what, are really driven men. Mm-hmm. Both of them are people who have carved a niche out in the world that's pretty damn remarkable for themselves, right? But in each of those people, I really am an admirer of President Obama. It's just somebody that I looked at as a really good leader and moved people. But what I admired about him was his kindness. I don't know that I agree with all his policies, but I can have kindness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have it on his level. And so I looked at his humility. I thought he showed some form of humility, right? I respect Trump's intensity and like he's going to stand for whatever he stands for, whether you agree with anything or not.
Right, you're looking at characteristics rather than what
I'm looking at those things in them that I might think I have in me in a different way. I manifest them a different way. So if you're sitting there going, I don't know what's good about me. I don't know what's good.
Yeah, so many people do.
Yes.
So sad.
Right. Not hero worship.
No.
Why do you admire her? Someone said, I admire Ellen. What do you admire? She makes people feel good.
Yeah.
That's what you admire.
Yeah.
It's not that she dances good or she's famous. You admire that she seems to be herself. She's comfortable in her own skin. Those could be gifts of yours. She makes people laugh. She makes people feel good. So really get clear on what you admire about the people, and you'll see those gifts are in you.
That's a really good, two-day hands-on thing you can do.
Are you ever tired?
Yes.
You do get tired.
I do.
Do you sleep well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do sleep well.
Yeah, people ask us if we're tired. Like, oh, you
no.
have great sleep.
Yeah. Oh, I sleep, but do I get tired? Yeah, I mean, I work, I speak in 8 cities the next 10 days. So there'll be a point where I'm, going to go, hey, I need some caffeine or something here.
Yeah, caffeine, okay.
Do you drink?
I do drink.
You
drink
alcohol?
Do I drink alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just listen to you.
Instead of a downer, so
you didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like
I never get get sick. I'm just constantly poisoning the poison, but maybe it's the agave that keeps me up.
Yeah, I have one more question. Have you always been internally optimistic, or have you had to work on that?
I had to really work on that.
Shut up.
Big time. Yeah, I come from a kind of skeptical, negative-ish. I love my family. But
No. Everyone's got a thing.
No. Definitely have to work on that. Like, still have to work
on
that.
Do you have to wake up and think?
I have to be intentional. I'm pretty habitual with it now, but yeah, you leave me to my own devices, I'll be like, yeah, dude, this, you know,
you can get negative.
100%, absolutely.
Do you have three little sisters or three big sisters?
Three little sisters, I'm the oldest boy.
There has to be something about having three younger sisters that have shaped a part of who you are.
Yeah, because my dad was kind of doing his thing, so I was at home with mom and my three sisters,
right? A lot of women.
Yeah, I think it's that I kind of am more comfortable being around women, to be honest with you. I think there's like masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. I love feminine energy. I love being around people that...
You're comfortable with women in not a creepy way.
Oh, no, I don't think it's creepy. Yeah, I don't think I have almost any of that.
You're not a creep at all.
Yeah, because people kind of know how into my wife I am, and I'm pretty bold about that. So, no, but, like, I think what I learned from my...
We have strippers that travel with us.
Do you?
Yeah, we do. And
of course we do.
And I have to tell you...
Male.
And they're the same ones, and they've taught me so much about life. They're some of our favorite people.
They are.
And they have had so much life... hardship, like they fucking wake up.
Like they say, nobody set out to be a stripper, but here I am.
And
are you being serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And they're optimistic and happy and hardworking
and grateful.
And grateful and like just pleasure to be around. And literally, someone that I like, we see them and they are coming our like they're not separate of us. They are part of our team. We take them for dinner. Like, and our husbands have all met them. Our kids have met. Like they're
that's awesome.
Yeah.
They're men who have in my opinion survived more than any person has probably had just survived in their entire lives with smiles on. Yeah, remarkable people.
And we never knew that that's what we were going to find when we hired a bunch of strippers.
They have taught me more in life than most people have. Yeah, for real. And I'm not. I know we're blowing your mind right now, but yeah, they are. We'll call them randomly into our lives with them. Like, genuinely, intentionally happy to.
That's wonderful to hear. That's awesome.
And the last thing I'm going to sum up, because we've now interviewed a bunch of people, a lot of people had things they have gone through that people would be shameful of, right? Like being broke and having no money, and then they carry that rather than being like, yeah, it happened, but here, fucking, you resilience through it. I think so many moms feel shameful about that they're not enough, they aren't who they are, they're like, I could be better, I should look like her. No. Just makes you better. The more you go through, the better you are.
I said a post on that yesterday. Like, this sounds cheesy, but whatever the test is you're going through, someday can be your testimony to people. It's really like I think the reason I connect with entrepreneurs is I've been broke. You know, and the reason that I
did you share it when you were broke? No, you didn't. You pretended because
I didn't tell people immediately. No, I was ashamed of it.
Yeah, and
I didn't tell people that I came from a kind of dysfunctional family either for years because I was ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And you know, so no, I've had lots of things in my life, and I've behaved in shameful ways before too, right? So there's all kinds of stuff in my life that, you know, but I'm kind of transparent about that stuff because I think, and then like I was super insecure, super shy, super low confidence. So
we all, right?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Not everyone was shy.
Really? You weren't shy.
No, I was.
Yeah. Like, we used to do drugs on the front lawn of our high school, and that's how we would leave, and I dealt it to my family for a while.
Oh, wow.
We were not.
I loved you, too.
Our families were busy.
Yeah.
I think you make a difference. Like, I really, like, it's entertaining as hell and funny, but, like, I think that there's a lot of people who get hope from you.
And that's
strength
what
from you. Hope, like strength and comfort from you, never mind the laughter. So
I'll tell you our biggest accomplishment. I'm just going to talk about us for a minute.
Yeah.
Our biggest accomplishment is doctors have prescribed us to their patients.
So far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which for us is like, we take that to the most, you know, or some people have their parents like they were.
Well, keep letting me know how I can help.
Yeah.
This was just fucking amazing
awesome.
And
thank
fun.
Thank you so much
for
taking
the time.
I'm honored. I'm blessed to be here.
No, we are so thankful. Shit, that was amazing. You're gonna help a lot of people with that conversation.
Cool.
I appreciate that.
Can you tell everybody where to find you if they have a thing?
Yeah,
if they don't know who he is.
Well, now they're definitely intrigued if they didn't already.
Go to Instagram, EdMylett, EdMylett, or YouTube, or iTunes for my podcast.
What's on YouTube?
I have all my content, all my interviews, my personal content on relationships and life and business.
And you have a book?
I do, maxoutbook.com.
Awesome.
I think it might be free right now. I think we're giving away, or it's like $7 or something.
Free. Basically.
Anything
free.
Under $20.
All my stuff's free. I don't charge for anything.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have one more theory before he goes. And this is an appropriate question. How long do you think women want to be in the bedroom for?
Meaning?
Intimately.
30 minutes.
No, oh, fuck no!
Yes.
No!
How long?
Like 7 minutes.
Oh, wow. Even less? I thought I was going low.
No! This is the biggest misconception men have.
30's low, isn't it?
That is so long.
30 minutes is long?
So long.
Start to finish?
Start, yeah, the whole thing should be planned out.
Yes.
So well and fast.
7 minutes.
Or less.
That's awesome.
I do, my
oh man, so like I'm crushing it then with my 4 and 5 minutes.
Yes, I gave my husband a 7 minute challenge. I'm like, if you can do this in 7 minutes, we'll
stop the
door. You will get so much more sex. Yes.
Is this really true?
Yes. Yes. I get anxiety about the length of time and I gotta go to tired. I wanna go to sleep. If it's 40 minutes, it's 11 o'clock.
Is that even vacation?
Well, vacation you get longer. I do get a bit drunk, so it's tricky, because then I'm all talk and then I pass out. It's got to be the right.
Oh my God.
There's sexual curfews, like get in there before 10 o'clock.
I'm way better at this shit than I do.
Yeah. God, yeah.
7 minutes is just slaying it.
Yeah, that is actually a long time. You're slaying it.
This is awesome.
Minutes
max.